So today we're going to be on page 481 in your pew Bible. We're going to be in Psalm 100. So take a little challenge here. Put your thumb about midway point of the Bible and open it and see how close you can get to Psalm 100. Because that's essentially where it is. Do you get it? Some of you know. Me too. Mine just has a ribbon there. But we're going to be on reading Psalm 100, the entire psalm, five verses. That's on page, like I said, 481 in your pew Bible. And if you're in your own Bible or in your own Bible, Psalm 100. Let's hear the word of the psalmist this morning. It's titled A Psalm of Thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to our God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this moment and this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So last Sunday night, a group of 17 of us went to the Chris Tomlin concert down at the Well. And it's safe to say we had a good time. I think we were tired on Monday morning, but it's safe to say we had church. But one of the things that stood out, not the music's great. I knew every song. I listened to it all the time on the radio. But a pastor came out about halfway through. Chris Tomlin's pastor, when he's able to attend his church, came out and he taught on the seven Hebrew words for praise. So if you'll find some paper and a pencil beside you, I'm teasing. I'm teasing because of several reasons. One, I didn't really listen or pay attention to what he was saying because nobody likes listening to a pastor. Let's just be honest. That's not supposed to be funny. But in all seriousness, while he was talking, I was looking up to see if what he was saying was true. I'd never heard a lot of this before. I was blown away by some of this. But I was also kind of trying, immediately felt the Holy Spirit kind of changing this message that I had already prepared a couple weeks ago. And so he went through this and he taught us. But then he got done, and this is kind of what he said to sum up, and I'm paraphrasing. But he basically said that all these words of praise are extravagant praise. Their hands lifted, voices shouted, praise. And he said, I know that makes the majority of you uncomfortable. He said, but they were not written as suggestions. They were written as commandments. And so all week, wow, does my life reveal my thankfulness to God? So I started making a list of the things that I'm thankful for. And I won't spare you because it's quite a long list because I've got so much to be thankful for. And then the verses 1 through 4 are imperative type verses. They are commands. They're things to do. Verse 5 is the reasons why. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. People tell me that. They've been telling me that my whole life because I don't like singing where people can hear me because I can't sing. Can't sing. I try, but I can't sing a lick. But this is a commandment given by God to his people to make a joyful noise. It doesn't say a beautiful noise. It says a joyful noise. Disclaimer, that does not mean everybody needs a microphone to sing a solo. It just doesn't. If you're like me and you can't sing, you're not getting a microphone. If you got the ability to sing, you can sing. But it made me think of a song, I Can Sing of Your Love Forever. Part of that song says, over the mountains and the seas, Your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. And I'm happy to be in the truth. And I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. And I started thinking, is the psalmist here really talking about singing as a song? Because that, remember, that's what they would do with these psalms. They would recite them, chant them, sing them on their way to worship or throughout their entire day. But it was a reminder of them of how to live their lives. So can our life be a song, a joyful noise to the Lord? The next one says, worship the Lord with gladness. And some of you know this verse, but this verse is really been stirring in my heart. It's Psalm 122:1. And that may mean nothing to you, but when I started, I think you'll... I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. But how many times are you glad on Sunday morning to get up and come to church? Now, for some of us, it is. It's been a practice of yours for quite some time. But the way that you live out your life of thanksgiving to God, the way that you worship the Lord with gladness, is you make a decision to come worship with gladness before Sunday morning. You know when you go to bed on Saturday night, I can't wait to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Because, yeah, in church, I'm going to have to talk to people, and they're going to ask me about my week, and I really don't want to talk about it. And the preacher may go long, and now he's to the point where he doesn't care if he goes long. But I get to stand in the presence of the Most High King, the resurrected Lord and Savior, and I get to have the Holy Spirit stirring in this place. So for that, I will be glad when I get to go to the house of the Lord. Verse 3 is kind of the odd one in this. It says, know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Sometimes I think we fail to live our life of thanksgiving because we forget that God has the lordship of our life. That we are His. He is not ours. We are His. And sometimes we put Him equal to us. And oh, how foolish that would be. The next one says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Now, you know it's Thanksgiving week, which also means it's a fairly important week to some of you. Because there's some awful big ball games on Saturday. But in all seriousness, think about how glad we get about... I'm glad this game's going on too. Now, I don't think my team's going to win, but I'm glad because it stirs up some excitement in us. And I promise you, there'll be 80-something thousand people enter the gates of the stadium in the middle part of our state. And they'll be garnet and black, and they'll be purple and orange. And the only thing those two groups have in common is sometimes they wear a little bit of white. Both uniforms have a little bit of white. And that's the only... Well, Christians are acting silly at this game now. That's one reason I don't want to go. I don't know if I can act that way on Saturday night and then get up and come and preach to y'all on Sunday morning. So if somebody wants to preach on Sunday, let me know, and I'll go act a fool at the game. I got to delete that out of the sermon. But do you know how glad people are going to be when they go in that game? They're going to enter the gates of that stadium. They're going to be chanting their team's fight song and spelling each other's school's name like they can't remember how they spell it. Why we do that, I don't understand. Both schools do it. It's not a knock on one. Both schools do it. And they'll be shouting and high-fiving and hugging people you don't even know. People sharing. I saw a guy last night sharing potato chips with a little girl. Not our little girl. But that little girl kept looking at him. He kept handing her a potato chip. She ate it and she smiled. He didn't care. People are going to be excited. 100% of the people will walk into that gate giving thanks. They'll be excited. They will be joyful. Maybe only half of them leaving, giving thanks afterwards. That's just the way it works. Somebody's got to lose. It'll probably be more 65% leaving unhappy because it's a home game for a certain school and they get more tickets. But that's another point. And what if we entered this place with the same excitement as we would a football game? I get to go cheer my team on, and we get excited. I guess we'll come to church today. I get to come to church today because I get to worship in front of my God, my Savior, and His power that leads and guides me through the darkest valleys of life. We could learn a lot about worship from the way football fans cheer for their team. And I'll stand first in line. So why? Why in the world is all this necessary? Why are we commanded to worship and praise in such a powerful and extravagant way? Verse 5 tells us, for the Lord is good. He is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. I had to remake my list and start adding some things I didn't typically think I would add to my list of things to give thanks for. I gave thanks for the heartache in my life, because it's in that that God helped me grow. I'm very blessed that in the two careers that I've been in, I've met a lot of people. Taught a lot of people, met a lot of y'all. Being in seminary at a school 6 hours away, I'm in class with people from Ohio to Texas to Florida to all over the world. But I got to sit down and talk to an individual, one of the sweetest people I've ever met, and one that I just think the world of. And we were talking about wounds. You ever been wounded? Not like scratch, but you've been wounded by life. And I said, the good things about wounds are they turn into scars. You know what the difference between a scar and a wound is? A wound is currently open and needs to be healed. A scar has already been healed and is evidence of the healing. So I gave thanks to God for the scars in my life, because they're a reminder of what He's done for me. And so then I thought, well, if I'm going to give thanks for the scars in my life, then I better put down the wounds that are currently open in my life. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But see, here's what we fail to do as people of Christ, is we sometimes are so focused about how far we've got to go, we forget how far we've come. So if God's already healed some wounds and turned them into scars, why would He not do the same thing again? So if there's a wound in your life, give thanks for it, because you know that if you'll persevere, Christ will heal it. And then that scar can help touch somebody else's life. Paul said, it is in my weakness that I am strong, because it is weak that the power of Christ shows through me. Then I got started thinking about the church, and we talked about this on Wednesday, so I went back and added more to my list, and the list was so long, we'd have been here for days of things I wanted to give thanks to God for. There's a composite report of the church council for this year's charge conference. There's still several copies on the table. If you didn't get one, I would encourage you, I would challenge you to take it home, read it, and highlight anything in here or underline that would cause us to give thanks to God and be overwhelmed by what you see when you get to the end of that document, and that's just 1 year. So I'm going to show you three things, and these three things are enough to prove that God is good. Enough to prove that His love endures forever and that His faithfulness is to all generations. Since July 2015, we've had 40 people, that includes children, join this congregation. You do the average on 40 people. I got the document, dates, Michelle, tell them about my documents. You don't believe me, you come sit and look at my computer. we have averaged 65 people per Sunday in worship. Now, here's where we fail to see where God's brought us. Because I don't know. Because I've not been here. 65 to me is still small. Not where I want to be. But I came from a bigger church. But I've had the humblest of reminders that we now have more showing up for Sunday school than we used to have showing up for church. We sent more to a concert in Greenville than we used to have worshiping in the sanctuary. We sent more to Dollar General yesterday to take over Dollar General than we used to have worshiping in this church. And I can't put myself in some of y'all's shoes and remember the pain and the emptiness of that felt. But boy, God must be so good to let us stand here today. New faces, new bodies, new leaders, new life. Don't tell me renewal and revival can't happen in this small church. Yesterday, I had the TV that was over here, we carried back over because I didn't think I had anything to show. And then last night, as I was riding to that part in the state that I attended that ball game, I want you to look at that picture. Pass it around. But as I was riding down that road, I'm scrolling through my phone, and I stumbled upon a picture from November of 2015. What you see in that picture is the collection day of the Operation Christmas Child. Operation Shoebox. 6 children, 59 shoeboxes. Remember that image I told you to put in your head? 107 shoeboxes, 12 children. And we got some of our kids that aren't here today. Now, you look at the differences in those two pictures, the one you saw live today and the one that's being passed around, and somebody tell me how you can't say God is good. So, yeah, I joke and I challenge, but if this is what happened this year, we're going to have to use this one next year. I mean, you can't, that's dangerous. It's a fire hazard having them stacked that high. We might not get the whole thing filled up. But we'll have to use it. You remember the little song? It's more like a chorus that we used to teach children. God is so good. Y'all, some of y'all know that one. I wish I could sing for y'all, but I can't. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. There's only a couple things that make me emotional these days like that. That's my kids. And every time that I'm reminded of how good God's been to me. Because I don't deserve to be standing where I'm standing. There is nothing on paper that should say that a 30-year-old first-time pastor was coming into a church that had been struggling and let down and disappointed and hurt. And here we sit today. It doesn't make sense. Song continues. I love him. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so because he's so good to me. So, man, well, yeah, we really love God that much because of how good he's been to us, then our worship should look a little different. We ought to sing these songs like we mean them. We ought to pray like we expect God to do something big. I'm praying God's going to make a way to put permanent non-heavy TVs in here so we ain't got to lug it back and forth and waste. Some of y'all got some really awful looking print. That toner's running low, by the way. So we ain't got to print these pictures off and pass them around. But here's what I know. In July of 2015, we had one working microphone that a friend of mine gave to me. And it made me look like Britney Spears. It was the double ear. There's nothing God can't do. If we'll remain faithful, there's nothing he can't do. Young people, I want you to hear that. There's nothing God can't do in your life if you will remain faithful to him. That goes from our little young ones to our older young ones to our older young ones. To all of us. I praise his name. Because he's so good to me. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He's so good to me. See, Christ saved my soul when I accepted him as my Savior. Christ continues to save my soul each and every day. The days where you feel like it's almost time to give up because it's just you can't get the support you need, or you just can't keep fighting anymore, you just can't get healthy, you just can't get this to work right. Something's always breaking on the car and you can't pay for it because the bills always stack up on you. Life just doesn't do anything but throw you nasty curveballs that you can't stay tall and hit to the opposite side of the field. Good coaching reference. Don't forget, he saved your soul. He continues to save your soul, and he will continue because his steadfast love endures forever. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing hymn 399. Take my life and let it be. Because if we have so much to be thankful for, then our lives should reflect our thankfulness and our praise of our God.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.